Good morning and welcome to St. James Westminster. We're so glad to have you listening. My name is Hannah Squirer. Leading the service of the word with me this morning is Keith Nethery. Paul Grambo and Victoria Piovison, along with Stephen Hollowitz, are leading music, and our sound engineer is John Gardy. If you are following our Sunday school videos, please check those out using the email link or following us on Facebook. And I would invite you to prepare yourselves for worship.
Most merciful God, by the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, you created humanity anew. May the power of his victorious cross transform those who turn in faith to him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from Hebrews. Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. He was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Transgression,
oh,
she
cleanse my
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Before I move into the homily, let me tell you about plans. Do we have plans? We just don't know whether the plans will carry through. Next Sunday is Passion Sunday with the Liturgy of the Palms, followed by Holy Week, Good Friday, Easter Sunday. We have plans for in-person worship and audio worship, but they are all contingent on each other and, most importantly, on the pandemic. If we are moved to the red or gray stage in Middlesex, London, we will be closed for live worship. If we remain in the orange designation, we will be open for worship with attendance restrictions. So check with us next week. We hopefully will be able to tell you what our schedule will be for Holy Week and Easter services. We'll be here in some way, shape, or form, absolutely sure, next Sunday. I've often preached on today's gospel reading just before Passion Sunday, only to be disappointed in myself for forgetting that the same gospel comes up during Holy Week, and I would much rather preach on it then. Well, this year I remembered. And so I decided to preach on the reading from Hebrews, which for me turned out to be a rather interesting experience. Hebrews is not something that we read that often in church. There are only two or three places in the lectionary cycle of 3 years that Hebrews come up. What do we know about Hebrews? Unlike the letters of Paul and John and Peter, which get much prominence, we're not sure what to do with Hebrews. For many centuries, it was listed as Paul's epistle to the Hebrews. Most scholars are certain that Paul did not write Hebrews. In fact, some have suggested the authorship of Priscilla. And if a woman had written in such a patriarchal society, you can be sure that they would find a man's name to attach to the reading. But not everyone agrees on who may or may not have written Hebrews. It most likely was written around the year 70, which slots it later than most of the New Testament readings, with the exception of the Gospels and Revelation. But it's also earlier than the fall of the temple. which is important in the understanding of what the author is writing. This letter is most likely written to Jewish people, probably living in and around Jerusalem. People that had perhaps come to follow Jesus in the 30-some years since his death, resurrection, and ascension. But now, because of persecutions, were beginning to question their loyalties, question their decisions. And this letter goes in a very different way to make the case for Jesus. Much of what Paul writes is from his contemporary understanding. He's oftentimes writing mostly to Gentiles, so he doesn't make the connections to Judaism. Hebrews does. In fact, I've often said to people, if you want to understand the chronology of and the history of the Old Testament, and you've only got about an hour, sit down and read Hebrews, because the author of Hebrews touches most of the high points of Old Testament history as he traces the understanding of Jesus. All of Hebrews is about explaining who Jesus is, was, and always will be, and his connections to faith. Now, when this reading comes up, I get one question over and over again. Who's that Mel? Melchizedek. No, that's the way I pronounce it. I've heard many other people pronounce it many other ways. The reality is, for the most part, unless you're someone who studies carefully biblical history and languages, we can only guess as to how to pronounce Melchizedek. But Melchizedek is an interesting person. See, the Jewish understanding of the priestly class, the high priests, comes from Aaron. Melchizedek predates that. Melchizedek meets Abraham as Abraham is heading to what becomes the Promised Land. Remember the story. God calls Abraham, says, "You are here, go there." Turns out to be the Promised Land, which the children of Israel will eventually inhabit. So Abraham, after a battle, meets Melchizedek, who brings bread and wine, who is referred in the Old Testament as a priest. Long before there was an understanding of the line of Aaron as priest, there is Melchizedek. So the writer of the Hebrews does something rather interesting. By going all the way back and working through various places in the Old Testament, he has God telling Jesus, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." Now, Melchizedek, as I mentioned, is found in Genesis, is found in the Psalms, and is found in some other places, but always connected as a priest. One of the things that I've come to believe is that our biblical stories can lose some of their vibrancy as they're told over and over and over again. They don't jump out at us in the same way. When you retrace everything completely, it allows us to enter the story again, to be moved, to understand things in different ways. That's what the author of Hebrews does. The author takes every opportunity from the Old Testament or the Jewish scriptures to make connections to Jesus. And he goes that one step further, going all the way back to Melchizedek. So if you're sitting today, and your faith hasn't been challenged for a while, you're just kind of sitting there enjoying a nice worship service, can you think of something that will challenge you? Can you think of a new way to look at things? Can you ask yourself, how can I make my faith alive again? How can I be moved? I think too often, faith just flows easy for us. Oh, yeah, Passion Sunday's coming up. Yeah, that's about Jesus, you know, preparing to go to the cross. Oh, yeah, we have the palms. That's really interesting, you know. They put palm branches. Guess what? It doesn't say palm branches. It just says branches. And actually, they emphasize more that they laid their coats, which was more of a tradition for someone who is special, a leader, coming into town. Yeah, then we have Holy Week, though. Yeah, I don't go to Good Friday. It's a bit of a downer. I like Easter Sunday and the up-tempo music, and it's all great, but it's all part of the story. And if we just listen to what people have told us for years and years and years and years about it, we miss it. It can go right past us. We have to be re-enlivened, if that's a term or a word, re-enlivened in our faith. No better time than the fifth Sunday of Lent to do that, to get ready for the most important time in our history, our understanding as Christians. No better way to do it than to look at Hebrews, a part of the Bible that we maybe don't read very often. Are you sitting through this pandemic thinking, well, we didn't get much of an Easter last year, won't get much of an Easter this year? Is your Easter all about the bunny? Or is your Easter about Jesus? The Jesus who is a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And do you know who Melchizedek is? Who do you think he might be? What might it look like to have this wandering priest long before recorded history? This is an opportunity, perhaps the most important opportunity in Lent, as we look inside ourselves, as we come to terms with who we are and whose we are, to take a moment and say, if the author of Hebrews can turn everything around and make it new again, maybe it's time that I take another look at my faith. Instead of letting the pandemic get to me and say I can't have Easter, maybe the pandemic is the perfect opportunity. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears. Had a few of those this year? Felt limited, locked in, shut down, stressed out? Jesus understands that. This is a time to re-up your commitment to faith, to look at the story in a new way, to stop living things over and over and over in the same way, but to ask God to touch you anew, to spark your faith, to recharge your spirit. Who are you? Whose are you? How do you define your faith? Amen.
Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave, leave me not alone, still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee is stayed, all my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing. Plenteous grace with thee is found, grace to cover all my sin. Let the healing streams abound, make and keep me pure within. Thou of life the fountain art, freely let me take of thee. Spring up within my heart, rise to all eternity.
Let us join together in the saying of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, and died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray to the God who loves us and understands our needs. God of mercy, we pray for all church leaders, teachers, and pastors, and all who are being called into particular ministries, both lay and ordained. We pray especially for any who are wrestling with the demands of such a calling, that they may be given courage to offer themselves in your service. Let your name be glorified. Let your will be done. All-seeing God, watch over the nations of the world in all their plans and actions, conflicts and disasters. Guard the children, guide the leaders, and give us all your peace. Let your name be glorified. Let your will be done. God of love, be present in every heart and home to cherish, to challenge, to reassure, and to comfort us. Let your name be glorified. Let your will be done. God of wholeness, we bring to your love those who are weighed down with suffering or imprisoned by their fears. Ease their burdens and give them the strength to bear which cannot be avoided. Let your name be glorified. let your will be done. God of life, we bring to you those whose earthly lives have ended, that in your mercy they may have everlasting peace. Let your name be glorified. Let your will be done. Gracious God, you are always so much more ready to give than we are to receive. Open our hearts and minds to live the costly way of love. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, gathering our prayers and praises into one, let us pray as our Savior taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.
Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord and each other. Thanks be to God.